This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest. Karsten Willems is the CEO of VMRay. He started this amazing company with one of his peers. We're talking about one of the progenitors, one of the inventors of sandboxing technology, and now he's brought it to its third generation. Karsten, welcome to the hot seat.
Gary, it's fantastic to be here on your show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you. And, you know, the biggest problem today is what we don't understand. There's so much malware. I was just perusing your website, and you have almost 400,000 pages of malware analysis available for free. What does that tell us? What is the problem? Is it getting worse? Are the bad guys going exponential on us using AI?
Yeah, it's many things. So I believe on the one hand, we have that growing attack surface. Everything gets digitalized. Everything gets connected to each other. So the attack surface is growing. The reward for the attacker is growing. That's just to see more ROI. So we see that constantly evolving threat landscape in scale and in sophistication. And then we see, of course, accelerators like AI, but we also see these geopolitical tension on our planet. So also nation state actors are becoming more in their number. Also, there is some blending and mixing of what is a nation state actor, what is a cyber criminal. They start to use the same tools. They sometimes even have the same objectives. Yeah? So we see nation state actors that are not only interested in sabotage and spionage, but also just in criminal activities to generate money and revenue, for example. So we see that exploding threat landscape, but this is not really new. I mean, it's just a trend that always goes upwards and never declines. And depending on who you ask, we see several hundred thousand new malware variants every single day. And of course, this is not new malware families. It's just variants and mutations of what we already have seen yesterday, but they are changing their forms on the daily basis so that they can no longer get detected by these signature-based solutions. And then we see some novel threats on a daily basis. We see some targeted attacks. And this is specifically where AI is very helpful for the attackers because, I mean, social engineering attacks and targeted attacks, they're already happening. But with AI, it is so easy to scale that up dramatically. And it's really becoming hard to separate or differentiate a phish email that is generated by AI and real email coming from the same person that this mail claims to be, right? So it's really hard.
Yeah, Karsten, is it still phishing, smishing, vishing to get ransomware on computers is like the main moneymaker for the cyber criminals? Or, you know, are they finding vulnerabilities in cloud APIs and exploiting and getting you know, backdoors and escalating privileges? Like, what's the hot malware today that you're noticing?
Yeah, you're right. There are very sophisticated attack techniques, but the reality is that attackers very often don't break into systems. They just lock into systems because they acquired the credentials either directly. Or we see this division of labor where there's one gang that sends out phishing emails just to harvest credentials and login details. Then there's another group that builds a malware. And then there's a third group that buys credentials, buys the malware and combines them, right? So yeah, I would say depending on who you are, your biggest concern should be ransomware. Or if you are a government, for example, then it's less these cyber criminal stuff. It's more these nation state actors. We see also a large uptick in supply chain attacks, which is super sophisticated and dangerous. Yeah, and typically here we see these nation state actors and not the criminals. But as I said before, it's blending and it's mixing. And it's no longer that clear who's doing what, right?
I love the name VMRay, and I'm wondering if it's kind of like combining virtual machine with X-ray on what's going on.
Come on. That's exactly the meaning behind. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great name. So you really own the hypervisor. So you own the platform. What else are you doing to get one step ahead of the latest threat and be the third generation sandbox and lead the market the way you do?
Yeah. So as you said, we are, or some people call us a sandbox vendor. And it's not wrong, but it's not the whole truth because sandboxing, A, is only one out of many things that we do. And B, our sandbox is very different to what other think a sandbox looks like, right? So we combine, I can talk about our or sandboxing technology, but let me first say what it else comprises. So we have more than 35 different technologies. Every single one is proprietary, built by us, with designed to deal with the unknown, yeah, with things that have never seen before. That is our specialty. We focus on threats that have never seen before. And we are able to detect them and block them by performing an automated deep analysis. Yeah? So we take suspicious content that can be an email, a file, URL, executable, whatever, and we take it apart. And our objective is to disclose all the hidden functionality and payloads and artifacts. Because equipped with that information, you are able to really stop never seen before threats. That's the only way. It's not magic. We just have more time. We can go deeper. And we put a lot of effort on enforcing the execution of the whole delivery chain. Yeah? So there are really, really crazy malware attacks where you first get an email, there's a QR code. If you scan the QR code, you go to a website. Then it downloads automatically an ISO file. The ISO file is like a zip, and inside there is a PowerPoint. And then if you click on the PowerPoint, eventually the last and the final payload gets dropped on your computer. So it's very complex, a lot of stages. And if you only look at the first part, then you may think, okay, this is a known threat because it's dropper XYZ. We already seen thousand times. But only if you follow all the different steps, you will get to the final payload. And only that tells you, is this known? Is this dangerous? Is this risky? Will this be blocked in my environment? So we're doing many different things to get full visibility into every single piece of the attack. And the sandbox is a very effective way to do that, but it is only one out of others. So just for example, we have for example, two machine learning engines. We have a static analysis. We have a built-in antivirus scanner. We have an armada of different anti-evasion technologies. We have user simulation and all these kinds of things. But as you said, the core technology is our sandbox, and it is a hypervisor-based sandbox. That means we're not a piece of software. We are not sitting in an operating system and watching what is going on, but we have our own hypervisor. We are outside of the operating system, which gives us a full visibility. We see everything that is happening inside, but it also gives us complete control. We have more power than the operating system itself. We can, for example, fast forward the time. And not only fake fast forwarding the time, we can reboot the machine and not only fake rebooting the machine. And the third aspect is since we are sitting in the hypervisor, we are invisible to the malware. We are invisible to the attacker. And these three criteria or properties actually give us that advantage that we have over other sandbox vendors.
Carsten, that's amazing. And I'm curious, with these capabilities, I assume you have APIs and plugins for improving EDR and SOAR, SIEM, SIEM, all these good already existing platforms that need a little help to get one step ahead of the latest threat.
Yeah, you're fully right. A, they need us or they benefit from us, but B, we also benefit from them because we have built that capability to deeply analyze suspicious content, produce a verdict, produce insight, produce IOCs, but that's it. Now you need to use these IOCs, you need to use the insight, and you need to feed our system, right? So we really focus on the capability to analyze and detect, but in order to really unleash the power of our technology, we need to be integrated into the EDRs, the SOARs, the TIPS, the SIEMs, and we make these other products better. Just one example, for example, EDR. I have many of our customers, of course, are EDR users, and they tell us, oh, our EDR is awesome, but it produces so many alerts, we can only look into 50% of these alerts. We just don't have enough people. So if you now combine VMray with your EDR, we post-process all the alerts and we validate them, we enrich them, we triage them. That means the person that is using the EDR now only needs to look into, let's say, 5% or 10% of the EDR alerts, and he doesn't need to look into all the false positives. And when he looks into an alert, he not only gets the raw alert from the EDR, but it is automatically enriched with all the information that we can provide, like the IOCs, the MITRE TTP mapping, and all these kind of things. So by connecting VMray with other security solutions, you make them better and you increase the ROI of these solutions as well. So we need them, they need us. Oh, they don't need us, but they benefit from us, and we need them. So it's a
Well,
bit
I'd say
asymmetric.
you're the missing turbocharger or supercharger for the existing cybersecurity platforms, and they aren't getting ahead of some of the latest threats without you. Now, one thing I really like is leveraging, your system for the signal-to-noise ratio, really reducing the noise because SOC analysts are overwhelmed, and some companies are having a hard time even hiring experts. So you probably take away that pain. Do you map to simple things like, MITRE attack frameworks and help them understand what kind of threat is this and how is it operating and what's it going to do? How do you make it easy for the SOC team?
Yeah, you're totally right. So everybody talks about that information overload, and says we don't need more information, we just need the right information, and they need to be prepared and provided and provisioned in a way that it's easy to see the most important things first. Yeah, so we need to guide the attention. So look at this first, and if you want more information, if you need more information, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And that is a big problem of a lot of sandbox reports or analysis reports I've seen. Sometimes you get 100 pages, yeah, just data, 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 data. And even an expert needs a lot of time to go through that data and identify the points that are relevant, right? But a junior, okay, do that. It's impossible, right? And therefore, one of our value proposition is we automate manual security tasks, we accelerate experts, and we enable juniors, and all with the same thing, with a crystal clear, focused data that is provided in different ways. Yeah, one manager report, one analyst report, one high-level report, but you can always go deep. You can go deep to the byte level. You can see what byte was written on your hard disk or what byte was injected into a different process. But it's really important that the data is structured in a way that the attention of the person is guided. But this is for people. Of course, we also provide all the data in machine-readable formats, yeah, like Sticks, Sibox, because this is how we connect different security solutions. And coming back to MITRE, yeah, that is a super important aspect. So of course, we map all the findings to the MITRE ATT&CK framework. And what I really like about a solution like VMware, there are others, right? It's not only that juniors now can do more sophisticated tasks, but also by using the solution, by using the tool, they get educated, they learn more. Okay, this is, let's map this activity, this API maps to a certain technique from MITRE, and then you can click there and get more information. And by using the tool, you learn very fast, and you would never come to a position where you don't need that tool anymore, because I said even experts can benefit a lot by just accelerating their work. But it's also about enabling people and training them, and that is super important because skill shortage doesn't necessarily mean we don't have enough people. It's more about the skill level, I would say, that is lacking in the market.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And I'm curious, is VMware deployed in the cloud? Is it on-prem? How quickly can we get up and running? And I'm sure customers are worried about confidential data, and I have a feeling you've taken care of that for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, we have German roots, our company, although the majority of our clients actually is in the US and not in Europe. Well, Europe, US probably on par, but not Germany. So we have German roots, and we have very strong and strict privacy laws, which sometimes are pain in the ass, but often they help. So we have on-prem clouds and even air-gapped solutions. I mean, we have a lot of government customers, intelligence services, which then use our solution in a fully air-gapped environment. And I believe, I mean, offering an on-prem solution next to a cloud solution has a lot of complexity in our development team. But I believe that it is important specifically for those clients because there are less and less vendors nowadays that still offer this dinosaur on-prem approaches, right? We have data centers in the United States, we have data centers in Germany, actually. And we have a lot of retention policies. So since most of our clients are coming from highly regulated industries or are super large, I mean, we have to deal with compliance on a daily basis, and we are very, very well prepared for that.
I would think the verticals like banking, finance, insurance, government,
Exactly.
healthcare, Fortune 500 probably all leverage your solution. What about MSSPs? Because you could help them do a much better job.
Yeah. So we have a lot of MSSP customers, and that is it's not only a multiplier, but the point is our solution is for sophisticated security teams. Yeah? Non-sophisticated or less mature security teams, they have different challenges. Yeah, they cannot get a lot of value out of VMware and stuff like that. But with the MSSPs and with the MDRs, also smaller organizations or less mature teams can benefit from VMware's technology because an expert is sitting on the MSSP side. Of course, this is not true for the enterprises who just outsource some part of their security functions to MSSPs. But yeah, I really like the idea that everybody somehow benefits from our stuff and not only those very large organizations. So.
Carson, is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
I think that was a pretty good overview on what is on my mind these days. Yeah. So, no, thank you.
So, folks, Carson Wilhelms, properly pronounced, is the CEO and co-founder of VMware.com. What an amazing company, industry-leading technology for advanced threat protection, mapping to the MITRE ATT&CK framework. Really helping you ingest, assess, detonate, analyze, and report on the latest threats, the most difficult unknown threats, so you can get one step ahead of them and not be breached.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7 by 365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milevsky.